Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, I'm Lorraine.
I'm Nettie.
My name is Mamie.
I'm Becca.
I'm Heidi.
I'm Katie.
We're so happy you joined us today, and our topic this week is choosing children. Mamie will lead the discussion.
And we're so glad that you all joined us today. We've had several podcasts now and have several more planned, talking about all things motherhood, how to help children with a lot of different things, how to keep our own sanity as mothers, etc. But what we wanted to address today helps give a basis for all of those other podcasts. And that is, why do we choose children? Why is it that we choose to be mothers? Why is it so important? I'm going to take a couple of quotes today from a talk by Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He starts off his talk by saying, "It is a crowning privilege of a husband and wife who are able to bear children to provide mortal bodies for these spirit children of God. We believe in families and we believe in children." So that's the basis of our discussion today. We believe in families and we believe in children. We believe that Heavenly Father has asked us as mothers to have children. And that's why we do all of the things that we do as mothers. That's why we choose to be mothers. I think it's important to point out right at the beginning that in this quote, there's a certain phrase that's key. And it says here, a husband and wife who are able to bear children. So we want to point out that everybody's in a different circumstance. And some mothers never get a chance to have children in mortality. Others have just a few. Others have several. We're all at different points on the spectrum. But the principle behind all of this is that we believe in children, we believe in families, and we welcome them into our home. So that's the basis for our discussion today. I will also share one other quote before all of you start to jump in from later on in the talk that I just love. This is what stood out to me from his talk and what came to mind as we were discussing this upcoming podcast. He says, "Many voices in the world today marginalize the importance of having children or suggest delaying or limiting children in a family. My daughter recently referred me to a blog written by a Christian mother, not of our faith, with five children. She commented, 'Growing up in this culture, it is very hard to get a biblical perspective on motherhood. Children rank way below college, below world travel for sure, below the ability to go out at night at your leisure, below honing your body at the gym, below any job you may have or hope to get.' She then adds, 'Motherhood is not a hobby. It is a calling. You do not collect children because you find them cuter than stamps. It is not something you do if you can squeeze the time in. It is what God gave you time for.'" And I can speak for all of us, I think, when I say that we were raised in a family that believed in children, which is why we have a family of 11 children. And all of us grew up loving children and having that desire to have our own children. And we're so grateful that we chose children. So today we want to share a few reasons why we have chosen children.
I have to say, I also am so uplifted by the messages of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the other general authorities, because it's such a strength to me as a mom to keep my focus on the right things. There's a talk that I have leaned on a lot as a mom by Elder Holland. And it's called Because She is a Mother. He gave this talk in 1997. There's a couple of quotes and then it's such a strength to me. He actually shares some thoughts from a mother, just like Mamie did, just like Elder Anderson did and what Mamie just shared. But there's a mother that says, and I would just boil my thoughts down to this. She said, "Through the thick and the thin of this, you know, of all of everything that motherhood entails, through the thick and the thin of this, and through the occasional tears of it all, I know deep down inside I am doing God's work. I know that in my motherhood, I am in, in an eternal partnership with Him. I am deeply moved that God finds His ultimate purpose and meaning in being a parent. And that's such a blessing. I think there is no other vocation in the whole world where you can make, where you have that total understanding that this is exactly what God Himself chooses for His vocation. This is what He chooses for His purpose, is to focus on and raise us as His children, so to speak. I just love that. And I also have thought of I think of this scripture often as a mom, the scripture in the New Testament that says, "He that," I wish I could quote it. Okay. "But he that saveth his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it." In our world, there is so much value put on personal fulfillment and personal growth and personal, you know, benefits and all kinds of things like that. And that's the first part of that scripture, right? That if we look for our lives, we're going to lose it. And we kind of are seeing what's happening with society as we focus on the wrong things, if we're seeking for ourselves. But when we lose our lives for the purposes that Heavenly Father gives us, and in our circumstance, it is motherhood. That is what He's asked us to focus on. We are going to lose ourselves for a while. I have to say, as a mom, I have felt very lost at times, but I know that because the principle is true that we should be mothers, and He's asked us to bring children into the world, and that is His work and His glory. I know that I will find my life as I try to lose it for Him. And I find it in so many ways. And I love, maybe it was you, Mamie, talking about desires. My desire for being a mother has totally strengthened as I do it. I've realized how much fun and how rewarding motherhood is, but you can't know that until you do it. You can't know it until you've taken the jump and made the sacrifice. That's when the rewards come, and that's when the joys come. So anyway,
I love that so much, Becca. Thanks so much for sharing. One of my often quotes that I use as a mother is, "I feel like I've given up my salvation to be a mother." Do you ever feel like that? Like I feel like I had patience, I had love, I had all of these qualities until I had children, and then it all kind of went out the window. So I often have said to James, "I feel like I've given up my salvation just to be a mother." But interestingly enough, just within the last few months, I have had the realization come that as my children have grown, especially the ones that have returned from their missions, they bless our family in so many ways and help keep us on the straight and narrow in so many ways. And I feel like it's come full circle. They are now saving our family with their insights, with their guidance, with the strength that they bring to our family that we wouldn't have if we hadn't gone through that period of trying to struggle through raising them.
Mayor, thanks. That's neat to hear that.
Beautiful thoughts. Just on both of those topics, one of the phrases that I often use in my motherhood goes back to Boyd K. Packer, and I believe he shared this in 2003, a talk called The Golden Years. And he mentions that once when his wife was sitting in church with a bunch of little kids, struggling to keep them quiet, and then an older lady leaned over to her and said, "Right now your hands are full, but later your hearts will be full." And when I heard that talk, my hands were so full, and we had so many little kids, and it just felt busy all the time. And it was hard to see that there would ever be an eternal reward for this. But I believed what Elder Packer said, that if we can make the sacrifice now to have our hands full, later our hearts will be full. And I'm starting to see that come to fruition as our children get older. My hands are less and less busy. I don't have as many meals to fix or children to take care of or toddlers to change or give baths to or tuck into bed. But my heart is so full with all the many things that my children are doing. And the other phrase that comes to mind is investment. Children are an investment. So many people want to spend their time, like the quote that you shared, Mamie, working out at the gym or going on world travel or earning money or college degrees. These are all wonderful things to focus on. But the truth is that they won't give as much dividend as children will. Children are an eternal investment that will continue to grow and produce magnificent results for us. So I love this idea that now our hands are full, later our hearts will be full. Now we're putting in this time and later it will come back to us tenfold as an investment. I remember specifically one time when my hands were very full and it was right after our twins were born and we lived in Wyoming and I also had several little toddlers at home and I was hardly getting any sleep at night. And one day I wanted to bake cookies for my daughter in second grade, it was her birthday, and take cookies to the class. And it was all I could do to get the twins to be, to not need me for a few minutes and the toddlers to play so I could bake the cookies. And then to try and get us all loaded up in the car, I didn't even have enough hands to get everybody into the car and drive to the school. And when I got to the school, there was a snowstorm and I couldn't figure out how to carry one twin in and leave the other twin in the car and go back and what to do with the toddlers. It was just one of the times in my life I felt so helpless. And it was emotionally very draining for me that I couldn't even really function physically. But now our beautiful twins are teenagers. Our hearts are so full with everything that they're doing and everything that all of our children are doing. And it's amazing how quickly it turns to this beautiful payment, this beautiful return for everything that we put into having children. We can choose so many things, but really, children are what are going to give us the greatest dividend for all of our efforts eternally.
Nan, that's beautiful. And can you said it was President Packer. Maybe we could put the reference in the comments, or do you know offhand what the talk is called and when?
Yes, the Golden Years, 2003.
I love all the thoughts. And Mame, I love that quote at the beginning. I used to be that person that wanted to do all those things except go to the gym. That was never on my list. But I love to travel and have a job. And so I did want children when I was younger, but then I was single for a while and learned how wonderful life can be as a single person with a job and the freedom that comes with it. And I will say I was living my best life and had a hard time transitioning to family life. But one experience that stands out to me is when I was on my internship in Washington, and it was a holiday, and I can't remember which holiday, but I was there alone. I mean, I had roommates and stuff, but they were off doing things. I was on a bike ride, which is what I would always choose to spend my time doing. And I had just gone on a great bike ride, and I was coming back. And I remember passing a home that was having a celebration in their yard with a family and kids and extended family. And I remember thinking as I passed and biked by, right now I have all the time in the world and I have all the money that I need and I have all the freedom that I want. But looking at the family in the yard, I thought, this is what I really want. And this is what I'm missing out on. And so I remember that experience, deciding that one is better than the other and one is more rewarding, and that having money and time and freedom could get old really fast. So I remember that that's why I chose children in a worldly sense, that I knew that day that I wanted a family and that I was going to make those decisions that could afford me a family. But why I choose multiple children, I think, is a spiritual reason. I have often thought in my journey, why in the world am I having multiple children? It's so much harder to have multiples than to have one or two. I mean, nothing against one or two. Every child is so much work. And some people say, well, when you have one, you might as well have 10, you know, because you're doing it anyways. But I don't think that's true. I think every child brings so much more work and so much more joy. Each of them have their own personality, and you raise each of them differently. And so it's not just one blanket statement that when you have one, you might as well have 10. But I knew this topic, and I was trying to think. I don't have any quotes or anything, but last week in Release Society, I missed Release Society because I was home with kids, but I played the conference talk anyways while I was home with my child. It was Elder Soares. And as I was listening to it, I was like, this is it. This is the reason I have children. His whole talk was about aligning our will with Heavenly Father's. And it just goes along with what Becca said and what Maeve said and Nettie said. I would not have on my own chosen to have a lot of children, because like I said, I love freedom and I like travel and I like money and jobs and everything else. And my goodness, we have tried traveling with a lot of children, and it is not a cakewalk. We just tried to look into a cruise with our children, and we have to get 3 rooms because they won't let us have a baby in a room with 4 children. And the price is astronomical to try and do anything vacation wise with children. You have to have a bigger vehicle. You have to have multiple rooms. I mean, trying to feed everybody on the road. And so it definitely comes with a lot of work. But the talk was about aligning our will with Heavenly Father and learning. And the point of life is to learn what Heavenly Father wants us to do, and to be able to learn to set aside what we want for our lives, what we want to do, and to learn what Heavenly Father wants us to do, and to have the courage to do it. And I will say, with each one of our children, I have had such a spiritual experience that we need to have another child. And that is the only way that I've been able to keep having children. But I will say that Heavenly Father wants us to have these children. And now, like Becca said, I'm learning to enjoy it and love motherhood, even though it would not have been my original choice. That as we put our faith in Heavenly Father and have the courage to do it, we'll be blessed. And I'm just trying to have the faith that someday I'll be in Nettie and Ray and Mamie's shoes, that we'll see the rewards of it, that as they come, as they grow and mature and start adding spiritually to our family, that that the dividends will come and it'll pay off, because Heavenly Father always has a better plan for us than what we have for ourselves.
Heidi, thank you. I thank you for your testimony. I actually thought I was the only one in that boat. The reason I chose children was duty. I love this little poem by Louisa May Alcott. She said, "I slept and dreamed that life was beauty. I woke and found that life was duty. Was thy dream then a shadowy lie? Toil on, sad heart, courageously, and thou shalt find thy dream to be a noonday light and truth to thee." I like that, because motherhood is very much that way. I got married and had children because I knew that the commandment was to multiply and replenish the earth. And about 4 kids in, I just about fell apart. I told Jared, I don't need the celestial kingdom anymore, because this is not fun and I don't see any happiness in it. But as we worked through those years, I learned that instead of thinking I have to do this, I needed to think I choose to do this. And I needed to look for moments of joy. I had a testimony. I knew God loved me. I knew He wanted happiness for me. And so I needed to choose to find that. And now that my kids are older, I'm looking back and I'm seeing that. And even when they're little, there are these moments of beauty. We're all kneeling up for family prayer and everything is perfect, or we're all sitting around the table. Every once in a while, there's this beautiful moment of joy. And I'm always glad that in those moments of joy, I knew for sure that I was doing the right thing. I knew that I was following the plan. and that eventually it would lead somewhere to happiness. And I like that. There's a quote about the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. In one of our low moments, Katie, this is a shout out to you. We were in grad school. We started grad school with 5 kids and ended it with 8. And in the high up learning community, children is not a popular thing. It's, in fact, we got ridiculed all the time for how many kids we had, even from our ward members every once in a while. And so when we were expecting while we were in grad school, we didn't dare tell anybody. And then eventually it got obvious and we'd have another child. Katie made us, I think I was whining about it to Katie once, and she had her name for Christmas, and she made our whole family these shirts that will live forever in our special boxes that said something about the fittest, my genes will rule the world. And then our kids all had a number on their shirt, survival of the fittest. And so we wore those all around town. We wanted people
That's
to know
hilarious.
That. The principle behind having children was that eventually we were going to be the voting majority. We were going to be the fittest because we were going to survive. You don't have kids, you know, there's no one to carry on the name. So I will say, Heidi, one more thing really quick was that we, after our first child, we couldn't have any more for a few years. We don't know why, but I hit a point where I realized we might only have one. And as hard as having the one had been, I was devastated to think that I might not be able to have any more. And I hung onto Sister Sherry Dew's talk about how every woman is a mother. That is our calling, whether we have children or not. And I remember looking around for ways to be a mother and kind of trying to come up with ideas about how I could be a mother without a lot of children. And I appreciate the lessons I learned in those years when I wasn't sure we could have any more. I was talking to Sarah about this yesterday, and I've said this before. She is such a much better mother than I am. She has 4 children right now. When I was at my low, she is operating at her absolute high. They bake together, travel together, go to the park together, go sledding together. She schools them together. She just does everything the right way, and she loves it. She was telling me yesterday that one thing that had occurred to her is that President Nelson has asked us to gather Israel. And she said, part of gathering Israel is having the elect of the last days, is choosing to raise the elect of the last days. I hadn't ever seen that it that way before, that choosing children is choosing God's army.
I don't have anything to add, but... we're going off faith. Sorry, this is my most emotional pregnancy. I'm constantly in tears. But I just have to say that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. So we're like Heidi. We're hoping that after the trial, excuse me, of our faith, we will receive the witness. And we have received witnesses, and that's why we keep going. But I also want to say that like Heidi, we've received spiritual confirmation with each child, and that's been so comforting. You know, as you show up to the school with someone holding on to each hand, someone else holding on to your coat because there's not a hand, and a big belly, and you're asking the secretary to help you with your child that's in kindergarten, 2nd and 4th. And she just looks at you like you're crazy. We just keep coming back to the fact that we're doing this on faith.
Hey, so we're going to send you some teachers for Christmas.
Say your genes will rule the world.
The table has turned. Katie, I just love what you said. Because the one other comment I wanted to make is I think my most spiritual experience having children was with my 10th baby. And I kept thinking, how can I be learning these amazing lessons when I've already done this 9 other times? And it just occurred to me so poignantly that every single baby is a child of God. Every single one. Just because you've had 9 other ones, it doesn't mean number 10 is diminished in any way. It almost enhances number 10. And another unique thing is that people for some reason think if you've had 9 or 10 pregnancies, you get better at it or it gets easier. And it's not true. Every single baby comes with the same price tag, the same needed amount of time and physical sacrifice to bring that child into the world. And it just was so pronounced to me with child number 10. And I learned so many lessons. And I remember thinking, I can't possibly survive this physically one more time. And then it was over and the baby was there. And I will never forget how immense the joy was and how I could not believe that it did outweigh the cost of bringing the baby into the world. I learned things with baby number 10, and I am so grateful I learned them. And I didn't learn them with my first 9. So it's going to be worth it, Katie. It's going to be worth it, and it's such a spiritual journey.
Thanks. It's really just that I'm pregnant.
I know, and I'm going to just really quick piggyback on that, Kate, because this is an analogy that Nen shared with me years ago when we were buying our first house. We were in Illinois and we found a home and made an offer on it. And I remember Nettie calling me the day of, I think, or the day after. Anyways, she said, "Mame, just hold on." She said, "From now until you close on that house, you're going to second guess yourself and think, do we really have this money? Can we really do this? Is this really the right house? Is this the right decision?" She said, just ignore all of those feelings. And then when you close, you'll remember that it was the right thing. And I feel like that applies so well to motherhood. Whenever I'm expecting, I am constantly telling myself, you're not really you right now. The thoughts you're having right now that are so negative are not really you. You have to just take it with a grain of salt. And once the baby's here, then you'll remember why you chose this. And it's so true. When I'm pregnant, there are days when you just feel overwhelmed. You think our family's falling apart. You think I can't do this. But then the baby comes and there's still hard days ahead, but I have my body back and I can think clearly. And it's probably different for every mother, our ups and downs. But if we can hold on to the moments where we knew it was the right decision, then it will all work out in the end.
And the joy is so profound. It's greater than your grief. It's indescribable. And only the people who go through that can understand that. It's really a sacred journey.
I also think, because I think so much, you know, when you're pregnant, it's all attributed, you know, your ups and downs or hormones and, you know, things like that. But I also have to say, pregnancy has been some of my most spiritual times. The times that I did feel closest to Heavenly Father. And I think that is just a treasure that nobody except for mothers gets to experience. And anyway, I don't know. Kate, you're bawling. Oh my goodness. Because we've all been there. We've all been there. And there's such low lows, but it's also when you are often the most in tune with spiritual things. And I treasure that about my pregnancies. So just special to hear that, Kate. Thanks.
I don't treasure anything about my pregnancies. So I'm glad that somebody does. Thanks, Becca. But I do want to say that it's so nice to have somebody to empathize. I remember hauling all my kids into the grocery store and almost everybody is looking at you like, why are you doing this? Why are you so dumb? Don't you know how to fix this? But every once in a while, somebody is so kind and so helpful, and it just makes my day. And I love that we all have big families and we've all been through this before too. When I got pregnant with our last one, I fell apart. I just cried. I cried and cried, Kate. I empathize. I didn't want to be there. I knew it was coming. We knew we were supposed to have this child, and I just fell into this huge depression. And then one day, Nettie called me, and she said, "Ray, I have to admit something. I'm pregnant. And my whole world just opened right up. I was not in this alone. And it was the best thing to go through our last pregnancies together because we both knew what we were going through. It was horrible. It was hard. But the great thing was, oh, and I just have to say, I went to my doctor. I was 42, 43 when the baby was born. First thing the doctor said to me was, you know, you're too old for this. That did not help me feel better about the horrible pregnancy that I was going through. But after we had our children, my last one was so wonderful. I enjoyed parenthood more with her, and I still am, than I did with any of my other kids. Everything after the baby came was absolute wonder. I enjoyed her. I rocked her. I carried her around. We played together. She's still my buddy. I just enjoyed being with her, and I'm so grateful that we bit the bullet, I guess, and had the child we knew we were supposed to have. It's been such a blessing for me to learn new lessons about motherhood, like Nin said. I agree.
I will always count as one of the greatest tender mercies of my life that Ray and I had our last babies at the same time. We were both several years after our other children. Nobody thought we would get pregnant. We didn't think we would get pregnant. And I will never forget the day I finally broke down and called Ray and said, I've got to tell you, I'm pregnant. I'm over 40. And Ray said, so am I. And that was, we just laughed and cried. And that got us through that time. But Larray, I don't know if you remember that you told me that day that you had had a dream. And in your dream, you were in a room full of people. And they said, we need somebody brave to go down into the city and save our children. And nobody in the room would volunteer. And finally, you raised your hand and you said, I'll go down and save the children in the city. And they said, you'll have to wear this costume that makes you look ugly for a while, but it's only while you're in saving the children. And so you agreed and you put on the ugly costume, knowing that once the children were saved, you would take it off and look beautiful again. And that was so profound to me because, strangely enough, one of the hardest things for me when I became pregnant again was knowing that for over a year, I would just feel uncomfortable and not good about how I look and gain weight and just kind of feel yucky. And really, we put on that ugly costume. I'm not saying you're ugly when you're pregnant, but you make a lot of physical sacrifices. And it's just temporary. And you're saving the children. And then once that comes off, your beauty shines. You're a mother. You have that baby. And you're blessed for what you've done. I've always held on to that memory. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. I held on to that dream, too. I still do. In fact, just a few months ago, I finally wrote it up. I had written it in my journal, but it's been such a memory for me. And it still keeps me going with motherhood, that I know that I have purpose and it will be good in the long run and that this is my job here.
Can I just share something quick? I remember... Well, I don't know. I think in having children, it's neat to think about what having children does for your children. I have to say that's one of the greatest, I don't know, the greatest lessons and the greatest blessings that, and I don't know, just why we've had a big family, because I love what it does for your kids. And I think it was Mama shared a study with all of us, maybe, I don't know, like a year ago, about your siblings. When everything is said and done, your siblings are actually the ones that you spend most of your lifetime with, or something. You bond most with your siblings. And I also remember, so yeah, because Mama's from a large family, and I know that that's what it, you know, inspired her to have a large family. But I remember we had a neighbor in Tucson when we were living there, for a few years, and they just had one daughter, and you know, and we were great friends, we just loved them. And I remember talking to Mama one time about this neighbor, and she said, oh, you know, are they gonna have more children? And you know, She said sometimes parents don't want to have more children because they want to be able to give the one child everything that they can, you know, materially and, you know, and their whole focus, their whole, you know, attention. And she said, there's some people that think that way, but she said, really, they're not giving them everything if they're not providing them with the siblings that they're, you know, if they're able to provide them with siblings, that's such a blessing to that child. And anyway, I've thought so much about that because I do love what it does for our kids when we have a baby, and even just like the sister share. I just know that we're the ones, you guys are the ones I call. You guys are the ones I want to talk to when I'm having a problem or a challenge. And anyway, I just, you're providing a support group when you have children, for your children. And anyway, so I just want to throw that in there.
That's so true, Becca. And it reminded me of, well, Nettie and Larae's experience where they called and were pregnant together, that support system lasts and lasts and lasts through your whole life. I remember an experience when I was a young mother and had four or five children under the age of six. And one morning was just so hard. One of them needed me to wipe their bottom in the bathroom. One of them, I was nursing one of them, and two others were in an argument. And I just felt like I cannot do this physically. There's no way possible. This is impossible to try and mother all of these children. And I remember falling to my knees in the middle of the living room floor in the middle of that busy day and being so overwhelmed and just praying, Heavenly Father, were we stupid? Did we not think this through? Were we not inspired to have these children? And I immediately received a very clear answer that has stayed with me to this day. And the answer was, your children are going to need each other to survive. It was as simple as that. And I have watched that come to fruition as those children have grown. It was busy, and there were some needs that probably went unmet or had to be waited on for a few minutes before they were met. But our children will call each other before they ever talk to James or I. And instead of feeling jealous about that, it's beautiful. It is so beautiful that they lean on each other. We have two at college, at the same college right now together, and they eat dinner together and are there for each other. It's incredible. And it's beautiful that children need each other. And going back to what you said, Becca, having a new baby come into the home is so beautiful too. We have 11 children right now, ages 22 down through 6. And I don't think the Lord's going to send any more to us. But I still have, every week, one of my children say, Mama, when are you going to have a new baby? Because they still want another baby. Babies bring heaven into the home. There's something tangible and peaceful about having a new baby in your home.
That's such a fun time when you're going to have a new baby. I remember it's like Christmas announcing it to the other siblings, and they just get so excited. You cannot overemphasize the benefits of having siblings in the home. It's just beautiful. So many blessings that come from it. I agree.
I remember going one time, we had a teeny, it must have been Brigida. I think it was, yeah. Anyway, a tiny one. And we went to our older daughter's kindergarten class. Her program or something. Anyway, one of the last days of school. And all of those little kids crowded around and they said, this is your baby, Viera. This is your baby sister. They were so thrilled. They all wanted to have that little baby sister for their own. And anyway, it just made me think of that. And when, they just love babies. There's just something about babies. And they just, anyway, it was so sweet. They all wanted her for their own little sister.
I'll never forget one comment that someone made to me. I think when one of our kids graduated from kindergarten and we were there at the graduation taking pictures and just having a wonderful time. And someone came up to me and said, you are so lucky because you're going to get to do this again a few more times. And I thought, they're right. I get to have four more kindergarten graduations after this. And I just felt so lucky. Like I didn't need to be sad that the moment was over. I'd get to do it again and again. And it just reminds me, high schoolers were in a musical these last 2 weeks, and they did the play, I think, six performances. And we went to the first performance and loved it. So then we went to the second and the third and the fourth, and we ended up going to all the performances. We didn't want to miss a single performance. And each time we went, we learned something new and saw something new and just loved it. And how sad it would have been if we would only have seen them perform once. And so every time I'm having an experience as a mother where one of my children reaches a milestone, they get baptized or they go to the temple with us, I just think, I'm so lucky. This isn't the only first I'm going to have. I get to do this again. And it just makes us rich. Children are really, they really bring a wealth into our lives and a joy that can't be replaced any other way.
I feel a little unique in that I have grandkids that live close to me. And I have to say what a blessing it is, because one of my worries as a mother was that, how am I going to teach my younger children the joy of babies, the fun of babies, how to play with babies, how to change diapers, how to take care of babies. And that is one of the beauties of having a large family, is that they do take care of each other and they learn how to do that. I will be forever grateful that my daughters are choosing children, because I feel like, in a sense, they have saved our youngest ones. Sorry. Our littles now get to be aunts and uncles, and we see them often. A couple of times a week, we have grandkids in our home that need diapers changed. They need to be entertained. They need to be set up and fed and cleaned up and taken care of. And I absolutely love that our girls are helping me raise my last children. However, I will say that I think some of that stems back, at least, to when I was a young mother, and Jared pointed out to me one day that I wasn't often extolling the virtues of motherhood, that I was complaining about how hard it was. And he said, if we're not careful, our children will not want children because of how we are handling our parenthood. And so I remember making a very conscious decision to try to point out the good, the joy, the benefits of being a mother. And I hope that I have been a small part in their choice to have children. They are unusual also, and I recognize that, and I'm so appreciative of that.
I feel like when you go out in society, people usually comment negatively on children, including their own, you know, oh, he's always into things. Oh, she, you know, she can be like that sometimes. And I feel like almost you feel like you have to respond in kind in order to fit in. And I finally decided, I don't like this. I don't feel good. I want my children to know that I love them and that I appreciate who they are and what they are, even if I don't appreciate their behavior right then. And so I've tried to make a conscious effort in the last several years to, when people say things like, oh my goodness, children are so hard and you have so many, how do you do it? Then I try to respond positively, because I feel like, you know, really, when you talk to people about children, even their own, it's hard to get a positive comment.
I had a really good friend in New Mexico that would refer to her children by saying, my Nora, my Hannah. And I loved it. And I have adopted that when I talk to other people about my children. Oh, my Hannah just loves doing this. Or, you know, I just love that. Being positive does go a long way.
And I remember Pa always being so positive when he would make comments, or he'd take us somewhere and, oh, this is the world's best piano player, or, oh, this is my, this is my little princess, or this is my little buddy for the day, or, you know, I loved how positive he was. And I think that rubbed off, you know, I mean, it just helped all of us want to be parents and love kids. So.
One more thing I wanted to add that Mama said that I think about often. She said, the miracle is not that adults have children, but that children make adults. And I think that's true. I think about who I am today, and it's because I had children.
Another point that I think is important to bring up before we close is that the point of this whole conversation is that we love children and we welcome children. And of course, every family is different. I have very dear friends who have wanted to have large families and have only had two or three or four, but their family is complete and the way the Lord needed it to happen for their family. So the point isn't for all of us to have 12 children. The point is that we love children, that we welcome children into our home, that we follow the Spirit, that we appreciate children. The society that we live in often will have children be labeled as a burden, when instead children are a huge blessing. And if we can see it that way and help others to see it that way, it will bless the lives of our own family, our own children, but also the whole world. The more that we can inspire in others the love of children, the better our world will be. Any last thoughts from anyone?
Just that being a mother can happen anywhere, anytime, can be our calling in the church. Right now, I feel like it's also my job at school. I have children who come to me and I learn from them. They come from unideal families and I get to mother them for the day. And I love that opportunity, that we are mothers. That is our calling, no matter where we are or what we're doing or what our circumstances are.
And I was thinking of, Heidi, you put this together on your wall downstairs. The quote, well, it's part of the song from Sound of Music where it talks about a dream that will need all the love we can give every day of our lives for as long as we live. And isn't that the most noble thing? That's such a, anyway, I just love that on your wall, Heidi.
That's beautiful. We can end with that. A dream that will need all the love you can give every day of your life for as long as you live. Thanks so much for joining, everyone.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you again next week.